On Christmas Day 2021, NASA launched the James Webb Telescope into orbit. The James Webb is a major update on the 1990s Hubble Space Telescope and has enabled scientists to look deeper into space than has ever been possible before in human history. A telescope is a window for man to peer into the vastness of the universe and to study with unprecedented ability the creative powers of God from whom every galaxy and wonder had its beginning. You see, when it comes to the universe, there is always more than meets the eye. And so it is with marriage. There is more on display here today than meets the eye. As we witness Simon and Olivia's marriage, God invites us to see the greater spiritual reality behind the institution. For it symbolizes Christ's covenantal love for his bride, the church. All of that which God institutes in creation finds its way back to him. And so it is with the institution of marriage. For through this creational ordinance, God opens to us a window to appreciate the profound spiritual union that exists between Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the church for whom he gave his life as a ransom. We find this link particularly in Ephesians chapter 5 of the Bible. Allow me to read a section for you. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." So in the marriage union of one man and one woman, God would have us see a reflection of Christ's love for his church, making today as equally about worship for God as it is a celebration of the great occasion. And for a few minutes, I just want to build upon this concept a little further. Consider first with me the origins of marriage, the origins of marriage. Simon and Olivia, your journey into married life together is more than just the tradition we uphold for the sake of tradition. The first reason that marriage looks beyond itself is that as a creational ordinance, marriage originates with God. He is the one who creates it and invests it with meaning. In the early chapters of Genesis in the Bible, we find the record of creation. Namely, the first man, the scripture soon comes in that creation narrative to describe the crowning jewel of God's creation, namely the first man, Adam, and his soon-to-be wife, Eve. And throughout the creation narrative, we see this repeated theme that God saw that all that he made, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. We find this repeated. But there was one thing in all of God's creation that was not good. It was Adam's loneliness. For all the abundance of the newly created world teeming with life and activity, it was as if Adam had been confined to solitary confinement, and his heart ached for companionship. And so we read in the scripture, "Then the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." And so begins the first human love story. God puts Adam in a deep sleep, and then taking a rib from his side, he fashions the woman Eve and brings and presents her to Adam. Adam is ecstatic, for not only will Eve cure his loneliness, but she is the perfect complementary helpmate for him. And some have quipped that Adam named her a woman by mistake, because you can just imagine when he first laid his eyes on Eve and he went, "Whoa, man!" God had provided for the man's loneliness in this first union. And so he does say, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." In this first union, God brings the original couple together in such a way that the level of intimacy and companionship is likened to there being one flesh. And so may we never think that marriage is something trivial or an invention of men. Our second heading is this: the covenant of marriage. We must also consider the covenant of marriage. A simple definition of a covenant is a solemn and binding oath. A covenant is much more than a partnership, agreement, or a contract. Simon and Olivia, you must view your marriage as a covenant. The covenantal aspect of a Christian marriage is embodied in God's declaration of the wedded couple as one flesh. Our Lord Jesus put it this way, Matthew chapter 19. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined, let no man separate. And therefore, marriage is not something flippant. God intended it to be an everlasting covenant. If a marriage is in any way framed as a conditional or contractual agreement, it would not be a Christian marriage. Christian marriage is a solemn oath before God that you will never break your promise. And so the covenant is our window into the relationship between Christ and his church. When Jesus spoke to his church, he said these words in John 10, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You see, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God's covenantal ties to us are such that he can truly say, no one shall ever pluck them from my hand. And the institution of marriage, therefore, and the connection is designed to be a mirror reflection of Christ's eternal covenant with his bride, the church. It is unbreakable and it is eternal. I have one more heading for you: the Christ of marriage. The Christ of marriage. Simon and Olivia, make sure you source your love for one another from Christ's example. And I'll tell you why. Christian marriage, as we have seen, is a covenant. And the ultimate demonstration of covenantal love that the world has ever witnessed is in Christ, who died on a cross as a substitute for sinners like us. His was a sacrificial covenantal love that led him even through death. In marriage, both parties promise to die to themselves to become one flesh. And you will learn how to die to yourselves, Simon and Olivia, by returning again and again to the wellspring of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel teaches us that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. Because of Jesus, the God who made us, against whom we've blatantly rebelled, whose judgment we justly incur, hasn't abandoned us to a lost eternity. In Christ, there is a promise of everlasting life for all who will turn from their sin and trust in Jesus. He alone is the great gift of the Father's love for fallen humanity. And he is the only way to God. Jesus said these words in John 3, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus, being himself truly man and truly God, lived a perfect life without sin on the believer's behalf. He was betrayed to death by his own people and rejected as the promised Messiah. They crucified him, revealing the darkness that exists in man's heart. The mystery, however, is that God was in Christ, granting mercy and pardon for all who will hear and place their faith in him for salvation. Nailed there on the cross, Christ, our substitute, underwent the judgment of God as a man. He bore God's wrath, which was against our sin, in his body. But 3 days later, death had no rightful claim on him, and death was vanquished, and out of the grave he arose in triumph and appeared to many witnesses. The point is this: he died so that we might live. And this is one way the gospel informs Christian marriage. Marriage is about death. Never thought of that before. Because that's what Christ went through to purchase his bride. The scripture says, as we read, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Simon and Olivia, there is a part of you both that must die every day as you continue into your life for the betterment of the other and the marriage in sacrificial love. To quote one writer, "Your joyous wedding is the beginning of sacred death. Today you will give away not only all that you have to each other, but also all that you are." And it's as daunting as it is beautiful. But the supreme example is Christ, your Saviour, and the love shed abroad on his cross. In your marriage, therefore, raise high Christ and his cross, and he will go before you.